Hello there and welcome to another edition of iWake. Today's show continues along our series discussing iCloud and the Mac App Store. Today's guest is Mahmoud Hafez of appadvice.com. And before we get to that, I just want to mention it being Friday that tomorrow we have another edition of iWake again. Now this week's show is going to be a pretty cool one. I'm joined by a pretty close friend of mine, Alex Barker. He's based out of Los Angeles. He's a filmmaker. And we discuss this year in movies, the blockbusters in particular. So I'm going to be airing part one of that tomorrow. We went on for about 90 or so minutes. So I've got a lot of content there. I'm going to release it over time. So about 30 minutes probably or so. We'll just see how it goes. I don't want to overload it too much. And then maybe 45 minutes. We'll see. But basically, tomorrow we have part one of our movies discussion. And you can find more information about iWake again over at iWakePodcast.com/again. So that's that. And with that said, let's just dive into today's interview with Mahmoud. I'm here today with Mahmoud of appadvice.com. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Tim. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Sure. So basically, what I wanted to do here is I've gotten about five or so people on the show to discuss iCloud the Mac App Store. Because for me, when the Mac App Store, when Mountain Lion hit, I decided that Apple's moving this direction of everything in the Mac App Store, we should all be using iCloud, and that's kind of the future Apple wants for us. I'm wondering, is that the future that you're letting Apple move you towards?
Go ahead. I am pretty excited about iCloud and Mountain Lion, but for me, running App Advice, kind of my whole world revolves around iOS. Of course, I have Macs. I have a personal Mac, a work Mac, but really it's about how it integrates with iOS. So for me, the major win of iCloud is now what we can start doing with things like iMessage, being able to do my, in essence, all my text messaging from my computer, having it on my phone, having it on my iPad, all seamlessly syncing. And I'm using the iOS 6 betas, and in the new beta that just came out a couple days ago, I guess, in beta 4, they actually prompted me, asking me on my iPad, asking me for my phone number. So that way now people who text my phone number, it'll come on my iPad as well. I'm waiting for the feature on Mountain Lion. I'm sure it's coming probably when iOS 6 goes live. But to me, that's going to be really sweet now, because I'll basically be able to have all my messages everywhere stored in iCloud. And for me, that was one of the things I always was worried about when my iPhone was losing all my text messages. Mm-hmm. So, of course, iMessage is only iPhone, iOS to iOS. But thankfully, most of my circle has iOS now, even my parents and things like that. So everything's iMessage. So I'm excited about that.
Do you see iMessage replacing AIM for you? Like, are you using it more and more rather than the instant message you used to use?
You know, it's funny. We just had this discussion in our office because basically, Tim, as you know our setup, we rely heavily at App Advice on AIM for all of our internal communication with our staff. A lot of our staff is not local, so we use AIM all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So we started talking about it and we said, why are we using AIM instead of iMessage now? So we were trying to debate, the advantages and disadvantages. The only disadvantage I came up with on iMessage was the fact that if I'm on my computer, it's buzzing every second in my pocket, on my phone.
Right. You had to turn on do not disturb mode that's the only way to solve that, I guess. Yeah, iMessage is a crazy thing because when I'm gone all day at work, I have a different computer there. And I come back, and Notification Center pops up with like 100 messages through iMessage. So I think Apple's probably going to figure that out eventually because they've got to have that same problem.
It's really cool. I mean, even iChat was already awesome for AIM experience in terms of letting you share screens and do video chats. But it's even more seamless in the Messages app. And also just the fact that, like I said, it's integrated everywhere. I don't have to launch a separate AIM client or Beehive or whatever it is. I can just have my Messages app and my text messages and my iMessages live together. So I have one messaging portal. So I really like that. But going back, I kind of digress. Going back to your original question about iCloud, Definitely, I'm excited about it, and I am trying to use it as much as often. Part of me is still a little bit scared to save all of my documents in iCloud. I know that's a default feature now. If you open like a Pages document, you write something, and you say save, it wants you to go to iCloud. So as of right now, I'm still feeling it out. So I'm still saving it on my desktop and things like that, unless it's something that I know I need on my device. But
are you afraid that like Apple's servers are going to go down, or your account's going to get like wiped or something? Or what's your fear?
I trust Apple a lot when it comes to that kind of stuff. For me, it's more just being kind of a control freak, wanting to know where my data is, you know. But I love Dropbox, so I'm sure I'm going to love iCloud too. I just need to get more familiar with it. And to be honest, I haven't played with it enough. But I do think that that's the future I'll be moving to, because here's my goal. I'm on iOS and on the Mac, and I want to tell you a little story about Mobile Me too in a minute. But basically, my goal is this. I buy a new Mac or I buy a new iPhone. I'm planning on buying the new iPhone the day it comes out in September or whatever it is. I get my new iPhone. All I want to do is take out the device, go to settings, go to iCloud, put in my information, or even before in the little welcome screen, restore from iCloud. And I want to basically not, you know, minutes later, not know I switched devices. Basically have every single thing I had on my phone from my old phone. And I think iCloud's getting closer and closer to that. I know when I first started it, there were a lot of issues with it on the phone side in terms of it wouldn't bring back all of my apps and things like that. But what I'm hearing, I haven't done it recently, but what I'm hearing recently is that iCloud will now, when I restore, bring back all my apps, have them downloaded on my device, put them all in the right folders. And I think music and movies is still I'd have to sync for, unless I bought everything from the iTunes store or used Music Mash and like that, which mm-hmm. are...
Yeah, and I'm moving more and more towards iTunes video content since they have the re-download stuff. That was the big thing that was holding me back in the past. Now, every week I'm looking what movies are going to be on sale, because iTunes does this thing where every week they have movies on sale. This week it's the Bourne trilogy at $10 a piece in HD. So I'm moving more towards that. The cool thing, too, with your idea of, you know, just sign in and you're ready to go, it's on its way from the Mac as well, because now that I've got most of my apps in the Mac App Store, the ones that use iCloud, once I log in and download that app, everything's there. I don't need a backup of that anymore. And things like TextEdit and Preview, once I log into a Mac, it's all there. So like backups on the Mac are becoming less and less relevant too.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. But the thing about the Mac, and this is why I wanted to share my Mobile Me story. So Mobile Me is considered a failed, you know, syncing platform by Apple. I actually enjoyed Mobile Me quite a bit. And there's certain things that, about Mobile Me that I really miss right now that iCloud doesn't do. And it's the exact case I'm talking about. If I get a new MacBook Retina tomorrow, I can sign into iCloud and it'll bring me back, like you said, in the Mac apps where I can get all my apps again. I can download, and then if I use iCloud, all my documents will be there and everything like that. But one thing that it's not doing, which it used to do, Mobile Me used to sync my preferences, used to sync my keychains, several other little things like that, which really made my experience right out of the box. I remember when I bought the latest MacBook Air I currently use. All I did, literally, this is what I did. I bought it brand new. I went to System Preferences. I put in my Mobile Me credentials. Within 2 minutes, my dock moved where it was supposed to go. My emails all came back in my mail client. All my emails were there. The passwords were all there. And I was using my computer again. Then the next step I did was I downloaded Dropbox, signed in with my Dropbox, and all my important files came back. I have a big Dropbox, so hopefully I can use iCloud to replace Dropbox, you know, in the future. But right now I'm using Dropbox. I have a big Dropbox. All my files are back. So literally, very painlessly, I had my machine, and this was so amazing because I thought back to my Windows PC days. And I remember upgrading a computer. It was a great feeling, but it was such a chore. I had to go find all my apps, and then a lot of my old peripherals. I need to find drivers for the new OS, and it was just such a mess. This way, Apple's always been good at the driver bit, but now, literally, all I did was put in my password for Mobile Me and my password for Dropbox, and I was up and running And basically, I didn't know that I switched machines, except for the speed difference, which was obviously good.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll add that. They might rebrand it as like Time Machine in the Cloud for your system preferences, but I hope they add that. I really do, because it's not there yet, as you pointed out.
They had it in Mobile Me. That's why it drove me crazy. There was so much stuff in Mobile Me, and it works so well. The keychains is huge for me, and the system preferences is huge. A lot of times I go through a lot of, you know, throughout the years using your Mac, you do so many little tweaks to it. You don't remember the tweaks you did. So to go do them all, I mean, my hot corners came back to where they were. All my shortcuts, my mouse shortcuts, my keyboard shortcuts, all of it came back. Now if I get a new Mac, I have to set that all up again. So I feel like iCloud is really good at what it does, but I think Mobile Me was actually a bit more ambitious. I think the goal of Mobile Me was actually the goal I wanted, where you just give me your computer, put in your credentials, and you're done. Now, Mobile Me didn't have, I mean, they had the, what they used to call the old disk, the
iDisk. That was back from the iTools days. And that thing drove me crazy because it was so slow and unreliable, and it took up so much hardware space. If you were using like 1 gig of your 20 gig allotment, you were still using 20 gigs on your hard drive. It was a technology that was cool, but never worked for me.
So Tim, let me ask you a question. Since you are all in on iCloud, and you know, you seem to be have experimented, and you kind of know a lot about this. My question to you is, I forgot my question to you. My question to you is, now that you have iCloud, do you find, because it seems that Apple is moving away from the old system that we've grown up on, where, you know, on my Mac, I'll have my folder structure and, you know, I'll have all my files there. Now, since I'm saving everything to iCloud, all of the files I need for each application are in that application. So basically, if I launch TextEdit, I go into my iCloud and I find all my TextEdit docs. So basically, it's kind of like iOS. I start with the app first and find the files later. When before, I would go pull up my TextEdit document, double-click it, and then it would open up the application that I need to view it. Is that true? Is that true in your opinion? Are you first starting with the app and then pulling the files you need once you're in the app?
It's very much like that. It's kind of odd. I look at my Finder, it's pretty much completely empty. It's kind of a bizarre feeling, but when I know what kind of what I want to work with, like say I know I want to go edit this document, I know where it's at. I know which app carries that, and I just launch it up and I'm off and running. And most of the time, since it's auto resumed, the documents I'm currently working with, I don't have to open it up. It's just there once I open the app again. The big thing that bothers me though right now about the iCloud stuff is we don't have text edit or preview for iOS. I really hope this is like a hidden feature in iOS 6 that Apple adds in September. What they normally do, they announce like one new thing before it comes out. I hope that's it, because it's a real frustration. I got these plain text documents, and they're not available on iOS because of that.
You can't find them in the Pages app?
No, because each app has their own document store with iCloud. And I could move everything to Pages, and I'm probably going to be using Pages more and more. But Pages, it'll convert it to a Pages document when you start editing it. So you don't get plain text with Pages, and I just want, you know, just simple plain text stuff rather than the Pages document.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. One thing I noticed is, so my whole life, you know, I've been kind of the tech guy in my family. So I get calls from my parents and my grandparents, and they're always silly calls, you know, where they call me up, hey, I need this document really urgently. I can't find it. What do I do? So then I try to walk them through. I say, okay, well, where did you save it? They say, oh, in Word. I said, no.
Yeah.
I saved it in Word. I was using Word to hit save. It saved right in Word. So, well, it's probably in their PC users, of course. So I say, it's probably in My Documents. Go find My Documents. Then in Windows 7, that changed to just Documents, whatever. So I say, oh, look in Documents. Do you see it? What'd you call it? I don't know. I didn't call it anything. I just saved it. So the funny thing is, I always made fun of them, but instead of just making fun of them, Apple actually solved their issue in the sense that Where did you save it? Yes, you really did save it in Pages. You really did save it in TextEdit. So you don't have to worry about where it was. You just open the app and you're working again.
It's kind of like the library metaphor. Like we've had iTunes libraries, iPhoto libraries. Now TextEdit kind of has its own library. It's not structured like that, but it is for most people, you know, just as easy as that metaphor.
So I do like it, but as a power user, I still feel like I want a little more control. And maybe I'm just, you know, stuck to the old model. Maybe
because you can still put stuff in folders. The difference is it's only that file type that works in that app that you're going to put in folders. So
files on iCloud right now in Finder.
Say it again.
So let's say I go all in on iCloud. I've saved everything in iCloud. How do I know I can open the application and pull up the documents I need. Now, from Finder, though, on my Mac, how can I see my full repository? Can I?
It's in there. You have to go to your library, and then you have to go to – I'm trying to find it here. Mobile. So you have to go to your home folder, then your hidden library. So you have to do the option key, then do the go menu to library. And then you have to go to mobile data. And then there you've got everything that's in iCloud. So I can see my text edit. I can go in there and see documents. And it's laid out exactly as it is in text edit. So I've got different folders just as they are. And they're all right there. So they are local. And they are just kind of hidden away there for people that know about it.
But the folders are also per application. Like I see here, notes.
Yep, they're per application.
Yeah. So
and you also see your mobile apps. So I've got mobile, iPhoto, and so the apps that aren't even on the Mac, you can actually see documents from your iPhone there.
Yeah. So this is interesting. But what you're doing is kind of not a hack, but you're going deep into your system and libraries. You know, since Lion is now hidden from the user, Apple doesn't really want you messing around in there. So. Really, really Apple's philosophy on this, I know you can get around it, is, but no, you cannot go see your file searcher like that. Open the app, go live in the app, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it's a peace of mind thing because it's like you have this clutter-free Finder now pretty much. I mean, I look at my documents folder, it's like empty. it's very weird a feeling, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, I think it's too early for me to tell because I haven't played around with it enough, but... I love the fact that it's in the cloud, that it's backed up. So if my computer crashes or dies or gets stolen or whatever, you know, I don't have to worry about that, which was a real problem before. I remember my computer being stolen when I was in college and I was devastated about all the information I lost. Now, of course, backing up is becoming easier and easier with tools like Dropbox and now iCloud.
Yeah, and the big problem still is going to be videos and photos. Like photos I can see go on the iCloud. You pay for more storage. You're able to store that in the cloud. It syncs to iPhoto on the iOS. About video, like Final Cut Pro, I do that all day long, and it'll be like a decade or two before we get that in the cloud. Like just huge files like that. Until we all have Google Fiber, it just doesn't make sense up there.
Yeah. It's in. I like the way it's moving, and I like the way. I mean, Apple. The nice thing about Apple is they're always thinking, you know, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. So them merging iOS like even user experiences on the Mac, I feel like it's not for no reason. You know what I mean?
They're taking the best of the best out of iOS and putting it on the Mac. And I think they're doing the same, bringing Mac stuff over to iOS when they can.
I mean, definitely that's what they're telling us. And I think that's, of course, true. But I think that there's an even a deeper layer than that, something to make our experiences even more, you know, magical, more automatic. I mean, we've all thought about the experience where, you know, you don't need a device at all. Like, basically, you can walk in anywhere, you put in your password, and then, you know, your whole world is there, comes to you. So maybe that could live in your phone, you know what I mean? And anytime your phone is near any Mac or whatever, using Bluetooth or whatever, sharing, it automatically puts all of my, based on... in my phone, something stored where my entire desktop comes back. So it's no longer actual computers we have with hard drive. It's not our computer. Every computer is just a workstation. So no matter where I go, if I come visit you in Hawaii, I sit at your computer. It's actually my computer. It's all my stuff. It's all my iCloud. And make it, you know, and there right now, of course, I still have to log in and change all of your settings around. But I think it's moving towards a world once we get, like you talked about, faster internet, more storage in the cloud. I mean, they might want to charge me $50 a month, but I think that would be okay if I could. I mean, I wouldn't mind. So yeah, let's put all the cards on the table. I wouldn't mind paying Apple even $100 a month if this was my world. Basically, I have an iPhone, and everything on it is fully backed up in real time. Everything I do, and no matter where I go. I could watch, basically, I could come home, I have my TV there, automatically when I sit down, I can talk to my TV, it brings up all my shows, or any, or maybe based on, like I said, based on my phone, it knows who I am, and any Apple TV in the world, I can walk over, it knows who I am, I could say, you know, go to my library or whatever, have all my saved shows, all my saved data, I could watch it in real time wherever I am. And watch any show of all time, you know what I mean? Any movie. They, obviously, Apple has to make these crazy deals with the studios.
Yeah, but I mean, the Apple TV stuff's pretty much there. You log in and you're good to go. It doesn't detect that you're in the room, but once you log in, you can stream everything. And that's something I really hate Apple, that iOS, you have to download your past purchases of movies and TV shows first. There's no streaming option in the iTunes app, and there needs to be.
Yeah, I'm going a step further. I'm talking about when they release their set-top TV set.
Oh, I gotcha.
I'm talking about even my shape, my DVR show, things I recorded. They actually didn't record to my hard drive. They recorded to the cloud. I know we're talking huge data here. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying this would be ideal for me. That basically, I don't want to own and I don't want to be device dependent. I want to have everything in the cloud, so no matter where I go, if I go visit you in Hawaii, I can use your computer as if it was mine. I can go to your TV as if it was mine. I can go to, you know, everything just by having my iPhone be kind of the – because the iPhone is already
– go to the library, and then you're at your computer.
Exactly.
Using their computers. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, they would need Macs, but I mean
– Yeah, yeah.
But I think we're getting closer, and I think that's what Apple's setting us up towards. That's why they're trying to merge everything so cleanly, so all of your data and everything could live in one place. And whether you're on an iPhone, Apple can serve it to you. Whether you're on a computer, Apple can serve it to you. Whether you're on a TV, Apple can serve it to you. And I gotta be on you for this one, Tim. If you're on a iPad Mini, Apple can serve it to you.
Yes, when those eventually come out, Apple will serve that to you.
You come in around, or are you still holding tough that there'll never be an iPad Mini?
Once the Nexus 7 hit, it kind of like hit me that maybe it's probably looking better. I think it won't be on the iPhone event day; it'll be a different day in like a couple weeks later. But yeah, I think they'll probably do it.
I gotta be honest with your iWake listeners. For me, one of the best, once it, you know, at App Advice, we were kind of, you know, everyone heard the rumor, of course, but we kind of really went deep into thinking about this iPad Mini and started doing some calculations on if it'll work and, you know, based on the pixel density and how current apps will look. And we found that based on the points per inch, that a 7.85 inch screen would actually work perfectly. So we were all in saying that, for sure, there's an iPad Mini coming and coming soon. And Tim, of course, thought we were crazy and nuts and said that.
It didn't seem Apple-like to me at all that, you know, it would be a device of compromise. And I still think I would not use it as much as my full iPad, because my full iPad, I don't own a TV. It's my TV. Like, I need I'd rather have a 20-inch iPad. Go bigger, not smaller. Like, you know, and when I go out and about, I'd rather carry my iPhone than a Mini. So for me, it doesn't make sense, but I mean, for other people, I'm sure it may, you know.
To finish my story, though, once it was pretty much confirmed in, you know, Wall Street Journal and New York Times were saying it's going to happen, my favorite part was not the fact that it was going to come out, was that I could gloat to Tim.
Yeah, you'll be wrong about other stuff in the future, I'm sure, but I was wrong there, I can admit that. Yeah.
But no, I'm excited with how it's going. And for me, while we're on the iPad Mini Quick, I know I've kept you too long. But while we're on the iPad Mini Quick, the one thing I think about is I agree with you. I think that the full-size iPad is going to be a much better user experience. But what I like about them is they're leaving no opportunity for somebody to not come to iOS. And the more people who come to iOS, the closer I get to my future where everything just works. I mean, if the whole world had iPhones and iPads and Apple TVs and Macs, Apple could start doing really amazing things like I was talking about with really making everything so integrated. Right now, they still have to worry about, you know, well, how is this going to run on Windows and things like that, because Windows still the overwhelming majority of the market.
Yeah, right. With the Mini, it seems like it's more of a consumption device. You look at Twitter, you do that kind of stuff. It's not like the iPad to me could be a computer replacement. It could be a MacBook Air replacement once the apps are there because of the size of the screen. They could build the Final Cut Pro 10 for iOS on an iPad size screen or bigger. Once you get smaller than that, you're losing the screen space to do the productive stuff that is more of looking at the screen and, you know, just enjoying that content already there.
It's going to be a lot more portable, though. I know you've always had that case to, you know, that little pouch to carry your iPad around with you, but it's still a challenge to carry it everywhere you go for most people. I think the 7-inch solves that quite a bit. And also, with the MacBook Air being now 11 inches and so thin and so small, it's almost as portable as the iPad. So I feel like basically they wanted to give something even more portable for people like you who can live on an iPad as a Mac replacement, you know, give you even more of a reason. I know what you're saying, it might be too small to do your Final Cut and things like that, but the fact that most people aren't using it for those kind of purchases. Plus, you know what I think is huge? That is, that could be an untapped resource. Apple talked about putting Siri in the car in the last keynote. I don't know about safety and things like that, but 7 inches is a perfect size for vehicles.
Dashboard?
Size for vehicles.
Yeah.
I'm put one in my car.
No, I used back in Indiana, I used my iPad 3G as my TomTom device. It was brilliant because you had this huge screen. But it fell over a couple times. But yeah, beyond that, it's a great device for the car.
If it was built in your dash, did music, and I know it's not safe, but even movies, all of this stuff in your dash, that is a game changer. I would buy a car for that.
Oh, absolutely. I would too.
So I think that there's – and the thing about Apple that I give them credit for even is they're not thinking about right now. They're thinking about – they're always setting themselves up. You know what I mean? Even with the iPods, as they got more and more, you know, sleeker and more mobile devicey and started doing video and things like that, they were setting the stage. They were practicing setting the stage for iOS and the iPhone. You know what I mean? So I feel like they're doing the same thing. The iPhone has now been with us, what, 6 years? You know, I think that we're ready for another big shift for them to. I think TV's next. I think they're going to really disrupt the TV industry. And I really think that they're starting to dabble with cars. And you heard in the Samsung trial when
it was either phones or cars. We went with phones.
Schiller was talking about that. I mean, that I don't understand how a company. I mean, I guess this is why the company's has over $100 billion in cash and worth what they're worth, the most valuable company in the world, et cetera, always is pushing and pushing and can't wait to do the next thing and kill their own products. It's amazing to me. And I hope they never lose that. They don't seem like they're losing it. That was the only thing. I knew Apple, you know, in the iPhone and the current Apple, the current products that I love would be fine after Steve Jobs unfortunately passed away. What I was worried about is, are they going to continue innovating into the future, those next great devices? I mean, beyond phones, beyond iPads, and I'm hoping that they are. And so far, we haven't seen much, but I do feel like there's been a lot of stage setting. So we'll see.
Yeah, and it's exciting now because iOS 6 and Mountain Lion feel like what they should have been a year ago. Lion was very incomplete with especially iCloud integration, and we're finally there. And it's a lot of fun to use this stuff now that's out.
And the same with iOS 6. iOS 6 really is not much different than iOS 5, but it's super polished. It actually.
Oh, yeah. Have you noticed how when you turn on the screen now, it'll like do this blooming effect where it just It's gradually. I mean, everything about it is very, very refined, and it's very much like a Mountain Lion update, which is a great update, actually. I mean,
what about when you update your software, you see the little gears spinning?
Oh yeah, it's brilliant, and you can now, in iTunes, even go from 5 to 6 with just hitting the update button. Before, you had to do restores going from 4 to 5. They've brought the OTA technology even to, I guess, in iTunes, which is cool.
Cool. I mean, I think that is exciting. I think iCloud is cool. The document storage, you know, kind of going back to the beginning, the document storage, I'm still a little bit worried about not having.
I really want someone to create an iDisk app, but it's iCloud backend, meaning it's for iOS and Mac. They can throw anything in there in your own folder structure or whatever, and it syncs to all your devices. I wonder if Apple would approve that app first off, and I wonder if that's even doable, because there's a lot of files that I could see used for just putting in just a generic, you know, Dropbox-like app type thing.
You said Dropbox-like app. I was going to ask you, besides your affinity to Apple, isn't Dropbox what you described?
Yeah, I guess it is. I'm using Dropbox a little bit still, mainly just for the web hosting that it provides for free. But I mean, that is sort of like Dropbox, but I'd rather have it an iCloud version of that, sort of.
Sharing is really sweet. I wish in Mountain Lion, Apple would have incorporated some kind of like, you know, cloud app for Mac, some kind of feature like that where I could quickly make links shareable for people. I thought that would be coming, but it doesn't look like it came.
Yeah, they have some sharing, but not to that extent. Photo streams is the closest you'll come to sharing stuff with iCloud, I think.
No, what I mean is like being able to pick any file, like a MP3 or a movie off my desktop, throw it in somewhere, and it creates a link for me to serve to somebody.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean that is 90% of what I mean. That's 90% of what I use Dropbox for. And especially now with their new Git link thing, I'm loving Dropbox because I can just go into any folder now, not even my public folder, right-click Git link, even if it has a folder structure, give it to somebody, they can browse whatever I'm looking at. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah. One final question with the Mac App Store. Have you looked at your apps that you use on a daily basis? Do any of them not like qualify for being in the store, or using apps that are beyond what Apple would approve?
No, I don't think so. Some of my apps that I use are not in the store yet. I'm not sure why. I do have an email out to I'm trying to think which developer, a couple of developers, because I know that they would meet the criteria. So I'm trying to find out why they didn't go Mac App Store. I'm wondering if it's just the 30% cut they don't want to give Apple. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Like Levelator, it's a great app for leveling audio. And it's a free app, and I email developers, and they're going to see what it takes to get in there. And perhaps they can, you know, start making a lot more money on their free app now, just, you know, have it be a $5 app in the App Store. So, it's definitely a transition process for the apps to make it over there, and for the developers that actually want to move over there themselves.
Yeah, the nice thing is the updating is so seamless.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, I've rebought in several of my apps that I already owned. Because, you know, the work computer, it's like, I'm just going to rebuy this so I have, can re-download it when I want. And, it's quite nice having that ability.
Yeah. And it seems that, you know, everyone's starting to embrace iCloud. Even I remember that you were upset with Fox for not including their movies for iCloud Restore, but now they're doing that. So
yeah, it's finally there. I'm still angry at HBO though, because anything that runs on HBO's network, even like old movies like Fast Five, for instance, it's on HBO right now. They pull it off of iTunes, off of rental and purchase while it's on HBO. They have like a total lock. So HBO is my next like anger point with all this video, how video works online. It's still quite messed up, but I'm very happy Fox finally made it over.
Cool.
Well, thanks for your time today. People can find you over at appadvice.com. Any place else?
I'm at mhoffez, H-A-F-E-Z on Twitter, but AppAdvice is the best place to follow us for, you know, all iOS news and apps. I mean, basically, for those who don't know, App Advice, it's all app discovery. So if you want to know cool apps and always update about the apps, you know, it's the greatest place for app knowledge. There's nowhere else on the web. You can find news everywhere, but actual app recommendations, we know that's what we really pride ourselves on.
Yeah, I'd love if you got more on the Mac apps, but I know iOS is your priority for now. And for those that don't remember, this show did start as an App Advice podcast, so that is where its origins are. So yeah, check out appadvice.com. Thanks again for your time.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Well, that was the interview I had with Mahmood. You can find all that he is up to over at appadvice.com, where they cover iOS apps in particular, kind of reviews and comparisons there. So that's where you can find what he is up to and his team is up to. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. You can find more shows at iWakePodcast.com. I also do this thing called YouTube with some videos over there at youtube.com/TCHATEN. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, iWake again over at iWakePodcast.com/again. Thanks for watching or listening. Have a great day and a great weekend. I will talk to everyone again on Monday. If you're an iWake again subscriber, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Aloha.